السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. Tonight's Taraweeh was the 27th juz of the Quran. The first surah that was recited was the conclusion of Surah Zariyat. Very famous verse here where Allah Ta'ala mentions, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that I have not created jinn and man except for my worship, except for my ibadah. You'll find that there are many people who search for the answer to life. What is the purpose of life? You find philosophers, you know, they ponder, they think, they reflect, try and find out what is the purpose of their life. And many people in the world today are looking for this purpose. They want to know, why are they here? Why are they in this world? What is the purpose behind their life? Is there any purpose to life for that matter? So Allah Ta'ala makes it very, very clear here that our purpose is only one, and that is Allah's ibadat. We have no other purpose for existing in this world except to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the primary objective that we have been created for, and everything else that we do has to be subservient to this objective of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this does not mean now that a person will spend all his time in the masjid, he'll spend all his time on the musalla, in salat, or in zikr, or in tasbih. He has to do many, many things in life, but everything that he does has to be subservient to this objective of worship. So a person has to engage in some kind of occupation to earn his rizq. This becomes worship if he does it with the right intention. That if he does it because Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that talabu kasbil halal faridatun ala kulli muslimin, that to seek one's halal rizq is a farida, it's an obligation on every Muslim. So when a person goes to work with this niyat and intention, that this is the reason I am doing this, it's a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not doing this just so that because I want to become rich and because I want to acquire the luxuries of this world, but I'm doing it because it's a command of Allah, so that I may be able to sustain myself, I may be able to sustain my family dependents, and through the risk that Allah Ta'ala provides me, maybe inshallah I can also assist the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well, if there is more than what I require for my basic needs. So when a person makes this niyat and intention, then that every moment he spends in that business of his is ibadat. Like Allah Ta'ala mentioned, we did in another surah of the Quran, where Allah Ta'ala says, رِجَالُ اللَّا تُلْهِيمْ تِجَارَةُ وَلَا بَيْءٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ وَإِتَاءِ الزَّكَاةِ, that these are such men, these men who have the noor of Allah's ma'rifat in their heart, that their businesses, their buying, selling, does not distract them from the dhikr of Allah. So even when he is in that business, when you're in your occupation, whatever it may be, a person may be a doctor, he may be a businessman, he may be a teacher, he may be an engineer, whatever it is that he is doing, he has to remain conscious of Allah Ta'ala in everything, in whatever he is doing. So for example, the business person, he's in his business. Now, he knows that I am here engaged in ibadat. So it is impossible now, if you have that belief and you have this understanding, it's impossible that you will now cheat someone in that business, or you will deprive someone of their haq. But you will conduct yourself in that business now in the manner that Allah expects you to conduct yourself. For example, Rasulullah ﷺ tells us, رَحِمَ اللَّهُ رَجُلًا سَمْحًا إِذَا بَاعَ وَإِذَا اشْتَرَى وَإِذَا اقْتَضَى, that Allah, may Allah have mercy on that person whom when he buys, when he sells, he has this quality of samahat, generosity. He is magnanimous. So, for example, a person comes to you, he asks the price of an item, you can see that the person is in difficult circumstances, so you drop the price and give it to him. You show this samaha, this magnanimity. So Allah, this draws Allah's rahmah upon you. Now all, you see, this is how you conduct yourself in everything that you do, in the home environment also. A person has to get married, he has to have children, he has a family. This is part of life, these domestic responsibilities. Again, when he follows the injunctions of the Quran, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, Allah Ta'ala says, live with your lives in a good way. Then be kind to them, be generous to them. Rasulullah ﷺ says, the best of you are those who are best to their wives. And in this lies the perfection of Iman. So you, all of these guidelines of the Quran and the Sunnah, we bring it into our lives in everything that we do. This is Ibadat. It's not only about reading Salat and making Zikr and doing other things. Yes, we should do all of that as well. But in everything else we do, this Zikr has to be there as well. When we talk about Zikr, we don't mean necessarily Zikr with the tongue, but Zikr with the heart. That we are conscious that we are in Allah Ta'ala's presence, and we conduct ourselves in everything that we do with the niyat and intention to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do it the way Allah wants us to do it. So this is what ibadat is really all about. So every moment of a person's life, from the time he wakes up in the morning till the time he goes to sleep at night, should be ibadat. Even our eating should be ibadat. If we do it in the way Rasulullah s.a.w. has told us, with the masnoon du'as and the adab and etiquettes, etc., then even that eating becomes ibadat. Our sleeping becomes ibadat also. So when Allah Ta'ala says He has only created us for His ibadat, this is the reason. But now, you must understand something else here. That Allah does not gain anything from our ibadat. Allah is not in need of our ibadat. That's why Allah follows it up by saying, مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ الرِّزْقِينَ, I don't need any risk from them. This ibadat doesn't sustain me, doesn't give me any benefit. وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَن يُطْعِمُونَ, I don't need them to feed me. I don't need anything from my ibad, my slaves. This ibadat that I have given them is for their benefit, so that I may shower my blessings on them. This is the ihsan of Allah Ta'ala upon us. That is why when you look at the various ayat in the Quran where Allah Ta'ala speaks about the Shariat. So Allah Ta'ala says, مَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيَجْعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ حَرَجٍ, that Allah Ta'ala does not want to create any difficulty on you. Allah Ta'ala has given us the ahkam of this ayat. This comes after the laws of wudu. So Allah has not made it difficult for us that we have to make wudu every time. When we need to read Salat, we have to wash ourselves. All of this is for our own benefit. وَلَكِ يُرِيدُ لِيُطَهِّرَكُمْ وَلِيُتِمَّ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَيْكُمْ, but Allah Ta'ala wants to purify us. Through this ibadat, our souls are purified. It now renders us acceptable in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It makes us eligible to enter Jannah. Because Allah Ta'ala, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبٌ لَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. Jannah, Allah Ta'ala is pure and He only accepts that which is pure. Jannah is a place of purity. We need to be pure before we get into Jannah. That brings me to another ayat that was recited, where Allah Ta'ala mentions, فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى, that do not ascribe tazkiyah, do not ascribe zakat, do not ascribe purity to yourselves. هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى, but Allah knows best who has taqwa. So in this ayat, Allah Ta'ala has linked purity of the heart and soul to taqwa. In other words, these two terms are synonymous. So you'll find that in some verses Allah Ta'ala says that Jannat u'iddat lil muttaqeen. When He speaks about Jannat, He says it is prepared for the muttaqeen. So taqwa is the condition for entering Jannat. In another verse, Allah Ta'ala speaks about Jannat and He says, وَذَلِكَ جَزَاءُ مَن تَزَكَّى. Jannat is the reward for the one who has purified himself. So in essence, this process of tazkiyah, of purification, of purity of the heart, is essentially taqwa. This is what taqwa is, for this heart to be pure and clean. So, all of this, the sharia that Allah Ta'ala has given us, all of this has an effect on our soul and our hearts. Whatever ibadat it is that we do, whether it's salat, whether it's fasting, whether it's zakat, whatever it is that we do, whether it's spending in the path of Allah Ta'ala, whether it's going out in jihad, all of this has an effect on our heart. And effectively what these a'mal do, when they are done to please Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and for no other motive and objective, these a'mal purify our heart and soul from all the negative qualities that are there. We don't have time to go into too many details, but like for example, if you take the ibadat of zakat, giving one's wealth in the path of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, it cleanses the heart of the sickness of bukhl, of miserliness. It cleanses the heart of the sickness of hubbud dunya, love for this dunya. And like that, every other ibadat has some kind of effect on the soul, and it generates a positive quality within the person. Like we have good qualities and we have bad qualities. Now, following the deen of Allah, following the shariat, following the teachings of Rasulullah will help us engender the good qualities within us and eliminate the bad qualities. For example, one has the negative quality of takabbur. The opposite is tawadu, humility. So by following the teachings, by reading the Quran, by following the advices of Rasulullah, you'll find that one will be eliminated and the other will come into the person. Then there is the quality of riya, which is negative, and the opposite is ikhlas. So this is what it's all about. So the ibadat, one is to do the ibadat outwardly, but the other thing is to have do it inwardly as well, with the correct intention and the correct attributes and qualities. So this is what we have been created for. So that when we leave this dunya, we leave with clean and pure hearts, so that now we are ready to receive all the favors and bounties of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. That's why Allah Ta'ala concludes by saying, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ, so that you may be grateful. The whole purpose of ibadat is so ultimately we receive Allah Ta'ala's favors and ni'mas, so that we are grateful to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala for the bounties that He gives us. Then we recited also Surah Ar-Rahman in this, in tonight's Taraweeh. So right at the beginning, Allah Ta'ala tells us, Allah starts with His great attribute and name, Ar-Rahman. That quality of Allah, where His mercy is all-encompassing. Then Allah Ta'ala mentions an action of Allah Ta'ala's, Allama al-Qur'an, that Allah Ta'ala taught the Qur'an. So who did He teach this Qur'an to? He taught it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, this ta'aleem of the Qur'an, that's why you find in the hadith, this it starts from the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This whole concept of teaching the Qur'an starts from the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's entire life, from the time that nubuwwat started, was to teach the Qur'an. His entire sunnah was ta'aleem of the Qur'an. That is why, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. This is how the rahmah of Allah Ta'ala spread into this world, through this process of teaching the Qur'an. And all those that connect themselves to this process of teaching, learning and teaching the Qur'an, connect themselves to the rahmah of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So you find in the hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. That the best of you is one who teaches who learns the Quran and teaches it. Now, when you find that in our deen, whether it is knowledge of the Quran, whether it is knowledge of hadith, whether it is knowledge of fiqh, whether it is knowledge of the tasawwuf, that means the knowledge of the heart and its conditions, all of this has come through us through a sanad, a chain. So you'll find that in everything, that sanad ultimately leads to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It will lead to a sahabi and eventually to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the sanad does not end there. The sanad doesn't end with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The sanad goes from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it started with Allah. Allah Ta'ala is telling us, Allama al-Qur'an. It started with Allah, it came to Rasulullah. So once we link ourselves to these sanads, when we acquire the knowledge of deen from those ulama who have this unbroken chain going back to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in effect we are connecting ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His rahmah and mercy. There's much more to discuss, but we'll have to leave it there for today, inshallah. Like your understanding and tawfiq. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma, bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka.